Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Acts, chapter 28, beginning with verse 11. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28, beginning with verse 11, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. At the end of 3 months, we set sail on an Alexandrian ship, which had wintered at the island, and which had the twin brothers for its figurehead. After we put in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. From there, we sailed around and arrived at Rhegium. And a day later, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There, we found some brethren, and were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and thus we came to Rome. And the brethren, when they heard about us, came from there as far as from the market of Appius, and 3 inns to meet us. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. When we had entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. What are the high points out of your year? For many of us, it's time spent with family, and that may include Christmas times, holidays, or it may be, like for us, every other year with the Sykes family at a big reunion. What a blessing when that family is also in the Lord. Holidays are just that much more special, aren't they? With devotionals in the evening, even. There's nothing like a house full of grandkids and cousins and brothers and sisters. The psalmist said it this way in Psalms 127 and verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It's not just that in the Lord there's greater blessing, but there is a higher calling and an eternal home for the family to go to. Turn with me to hymn number 640. 640. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Paul's had a tough time of it up until today's lesson. We had him shipwrecked. Last Sunday's lesson was marooned on Malta. Today's lesson is focusing upon smooth sailing. Though there is a still 400-mile gap between Malta and Rome for Paul to cover, it's rather uneventful, and it seems to be smooth sailing. This leg from Malta to Syracuse is less than 100 miles, and Syracuse is a town on the island of Sicily. And if you look at the map, you can see that Sicily is that football that the toe of Italy, the boot of Italy, is kicking. I gave a challenge to the Wednesday night class, a little bit of extra homework. I said, how does Messina fit in to Paul's travels on Sunday? And I mentioned the old band Loggins and Messina to help them remember. Well, the Bible doesn't actually mention the space in the sea between the boot and the football, between Italy and Sicily, but that is called the Messina Strait. And so Paul goes right through the middle of it after having landed at Rhegium, which is on the bottom of the toe of the boot. Then he travels north and sails into the length of Italy. Puteoli is what we would refer to as the Bay of Naples. So he's quite a ways up whenever they put in at Puteoli, and then he makes it to Rome and is visited by the brethren. And so the emphasis of today's lesson is not only the smooth sailing, no storms or anything to blow them off course, but also the fact that Paul gets to reunite with brethren in Christ. Now, it's not that he has met these brethren before. Some 3 years ago, in A.D. 57, perhaps as many as 4 years ago, Paul wrote a letter at the end of the third missionary journey to Rome. And we'll talk about that this afternoon, some of the intents that he had, future plans that he states in Romans chapter 15. But they have had in their possession now the Roman letter. And by the way, I'm considering, and it has been suggested, I'm considering in going into the Roman letter for the next series of lessons. And yes, it will take almost as long to get through that as it did through the book of Acts. But tell me what you think about that later today. But Paul has written this letter to the Roman brethren, and they then have had an opportunity to at least get to know his authority as an apostle and to review the things that he has written and to see that he truly is a man of God. And that's important. And it seems as if Paul's reception by them is great, not only by the ones there in Rome, but also by the brethren in the surrounding areas. They come to him from Appius and the three inns, or the three taverns. Paul will meet next week in our lesson with those who are not Christians, but are of his people by DNA, the Jews. And it's not smooth sailing. It's a little tough. And so we'll finish, Lord willing, with the book of Acts next week. Paul seems to have the good intentions of Julius, the centurion, even now. As they sail through and they make ports, Julius is granting Paul furloughs. And a prison furlough is an authorized temporary release given to an inmate. And it just seems as if Paul maybe is enjoying a greater sense of freedom than other prisoners might have received. But he's proved his worth, hasn't he? His prophecies have come true. He has delivered the ship. He has made certain that there has been no loss of life, and I'm sure Julius is grateful for that. He doesn't have to report to the Roman officials when he gets there just how bad the loss of life has been. Now, certainly there was the loss of the ship, but that was a commercial ship that wasn't necessarily on the Roman soldiers to have to make good on that loss. So Paul has proven himself time and again. It's just too bad it doesn't result in him being freed when he gets to Rome. Instead, as we finished reading, he gets to Rome, and he does have some freedom per se. He has one soldier that it's believed that he is basically handcuffed to, but he still has freedom to roam around in a house that he has rented. Paul has not had an easy life, had he? What was it that Jesus had said to Ananias? I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. But Paul has also been enlightened along the way, certainly with the truth that God has given him, but also with the concept that he will not die before he has gone to Rome and testified. You will be my witness even in Rome, Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. And so it's been God's plan all along for Paul to go to Rome. It's just an added bonus that when he gets there, he's received well by the brethren. What an encouragement that is for him. Turn with me to hymn number 608. 608.
that's been born again, part of the family, whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory, through his precious name. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again. Just inside the city, as we enter in, there'll be no more parting. With Jesus we'll be together forever, God's family. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs, sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family.
Won't that be joyous? When we all get to heaven, God's family. Now we know life is not all smooth sailing, although we have this very brief example of Paul toward the end of his life. And yet what we mustn't forget is that he's still a prisoner. But he seems so positive and upbeat, doesn't he? As he is encouraged by the brethren, as the family comes together to meet their brother in the Lord, having received that letter that I've already mentioned and knowing from whence he comes, the truth that he shares with them. And I'm sure it was a very joyous occasion, a highlight, if you will, of Paul's year, possibly, not just his trip. And Paul uses his confinement wisely. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged when times are rough and to forget to do those things for others that we should do, which reminds us to focus upon others and not upon ourselves. And so Paul uses his confinement while he's a prisoner there in Rome. We even call them the prison epistles that he writes, four of them. I'll reference them a little stronger in this afternoon's lesson. But Paul's making good use of time that he didn't think he would necessarily have before he became a prisoner and he had written that letter to Rome. He was just going to pass through. Well, that's this afternoon's lesson, passing through. But that wasn't God's plan. Do you ever find that to be the case? The plans you make don't prove true, or they have to be changed. But Paul knows that Jesus' words and the truth, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," are paramount. And he knows from whence his authority comes. It's from Jesus and preaching his word. And so he writes those letters, those prison epistles, and that is such a blessing, not just for those churches of that time, but for us. Because the truth becomes concrete and tangible. It can be learned and it can be built upon. You remember as John was writing his gospel toward the end of it there in John chapter 20 and verse 31, he says, "These things are written so that you might know and believe." So important for us to center upon God's Word. And I hope that you've noticed that that's what we try to do here in Mountain View Church of Christ, is to center upon God's Word so that you might know it better. So that if nothing else, when we come together, you leave with those nuggets, the foundational truth that God has given us to build our lives upon. What other apostle wrote a prison epistle? Or an epistle from confinement? Well, it's the last book of the Bible, isn't it? The Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation from the island of Patmos. We get to visit that island on our trip to Turkey and Greece. Three islands, actually. We'll get to visit Patmos and Crete and another island along the way. I forget what it's called just right now. Something that starts with an R. I'm sure it's on the map up there. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 24, "They will say of me, 'Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength.' Men will come to him, and all who are angry at him will be put to shame." I've got confidence my Lord is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, my Lord is going to fix it for me. Oh, I've got confidence my Lord is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, my Lord is going to fix it for me. Turn with me to hymn number 444. 444. What was it Isaiah said? "In the Lord alone are righteousness and strength." In the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. The height and breadth and length of love is found in Him. In the Lord alone, are righteousness and strength. In the Lord alone. In the Lord alone, are life and health and peace. His mercy and His loving kindness never cease. In the Lord alone, are life and health and peace. In the Lord alone. In the Lord
Lord alone is everything I need. The Son of Man, now reigning high, will intercede. In the Lord alone is everything I need. In the Lord alone.
Yes, at the end of that third missionary journey, Paul made plans. As he writes to the Romans, I hope to come to you. He gets to Jerusalem and he's arrested. Now, he knew that that might happen. In fact, he says, I'm not only ready to be arrested after Agabus gave him the prophecy that the man who would be the owner of this girdle would be bound. Paul says, I'm not only ready to be arrested, I am ready to die. While under arrest, he's told by the Spirit that he's going to go to Rome. It's taken more than 2 years and 3 months to get there. He spent 2 years in Caesarea Maritima, in Herod's palace, in the dungeon. And now he has finally made it to Rome, but not uneventfully, having been shipwrecked and marooned upon an island. Such is life. We have a safe haven that we're making our way toward. God has prepared a place for those who love Him. Let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. We know where we're headed. We just don't know what's going to happen along the way, except this. If we will but walk in faith, He's going to see us through. If we'll but have the confidence that in the Lord alone there is righteousness and strength, then no matter what the case may be, my Lord is going to fix it for me. I'd like to close with a passage from Paul as he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I think it's rather ironic that from what we can tell in the Scriptures, Paul spends his last days in the enemy's camp in Rome. That passage there in 23:11 that we've already referenced, where Paul is told by God, as you have been a witness to me in Jerusalem, so you shall also be in Rome, says to me that this fourth missionary journey has been centered upon those who need God badly. First, the Jewish people who have failed to accept Jesus. Then the heathen government, which is soon to become so oppressive to the church. In 5 years or so, maybe just a little bit longer, that Roman government will destroy Jerusalem and begin to persecute the Christians in the Colosseums. The latter half of the century, the last 30 years, is one of turmoil for Christians. And yet here, God is taking the gospel, Paul says to the Gentiles, is taking the gospel to those who need it most. Rome won't officially look at Christianity by an emperor for another 300 plus years when Constantine ascends to being Caesar. But the seeds are planted, aren't they? Smooth sailing, you say? Well, not really. He was still a prisoner, but it's all in the way you look at things. We can see every day with a positive light, with the possibilities of sunshine. Prayerfully, hopefully, you've got fellowship with family in the Lord. Certainly you have it here amongst the brethren. In the Lord alone, are righteousness and strength. Except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. But in the Lord, we do have hope for sunshine, hope for harbor and safety for all eternity. Smooth sailing. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear.